As some of you know, Moreton family went up the weekend to see her, and she is improving all the time. She's awake now, her eyes are open, and I believe she responds to music and worship and praise. So our God is a great God who sits on the throne, and he still heals and delivers today. And if we can continue to keep her and the family in our prayers and intercessions, we know that God will prove his faithfulness. Hallelujah. Because the Word of God says that we are to pray one for another. And also we know the needs in our assembly, praying also for others and for our dear sister Mary Louise, that we appeal to the cross of Calvary, because there is where Jesus said, "It's done, it is finished." And that's why we're here tonight in fellowship, coming together and listening to his word. Well, before I start, let us just commit our time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, again tonight we are in your presence where two or three gather together. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who's come in his fullness to teach us, lead us, and guide us. Father, I pray that we will be changed after our meeting tonight. Father, that our hearts will be open to receive the seed of your word, because only the Holy Spirit can water that word. Only you can increase our faith that pleases you. So we thank you tonight. We thank you for the blood of Jesus over our meeting, over the connection, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, I want tonight to talk about our discipleship as believers walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're calling our teaching tonight, How the World Sees Us. How the World Sees Us, or How the World Views Us. And of course, we know that we are to bear fruit in these last days, because Jesus said, "By the fruit you will know them." But also, it's the way we walk as disciples that the world will see. And very often we are not aware what God is doing through us, in which to speak to the world, in which to influence, and so on. And there's a reason why he shows us very little of this, because human nature being like it is, we would become complacent, a little swell-headed, and think, "Well, I'm doing okay as a believer because I'm influencing many other people." See, God doesn't appeal in any way to that part of our nature, but he does have a way in which he works in and through us. And we're going to look at this tonight, and we're calling this How the World Should See Us or Interpret Us. And we're going to appeal to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. Now I know that the Apostle Paul is also speaking how he walks, how the apostles walk, but it's also how the church walks. Because if we see the apostles walking in this way, then we emulate, we copy, because we know that ultimately we're walking the ways of the Lord. And that's why God sets the gifts in the church. That's why he sets each one of us in the church, so that we can, if we're walking humbly, learn from each other. If we see Jesus in what we do, whether it be through that sister or that brother, then we have a great opportunity of which to say, "Lord, also work that through me as well." That is how we learn. That is how we grow That is what body ministry is about. It's not only for God's glory, that he may be glorified, but we're set into the body, baptized into the body, so that what God is doing through each one of us may be also a learning and a teaching to us. But only the humble will understand that and learn that. And that's how we grow and mature in the faith. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, which says, being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. Well, that's quite a statement there that the Apostle Paul is making there. But in this context, we read that we submit to what appears as foolishness for Christ. And sooner or later, we're going to realize, if we walk as disciples of Christ, that we are going to look foolish in the eyes of the world. Because we know that God works in ways that the world does not work. He works in ways past finding out. We don't walk like the world. We aren't going in the world's direction. We are, as the Bible tells us, these sojourners simply passing through. And we've really got to learn this. We've really got to allow the Holy Spirit to work this. This is partly also our separation unto God. It's as we yield over to the Holy Spirit that God will work this separation within us. It's not in our nature to separate. We like to be part of the gang. We like to be part of the community. We like to be where people are. Most of us are quite gregarious. We like to be where it's all happening. And yet they are the very things that so often the Holy Spirit draws us away from. So we find that sometimes there is this struggle, there is this fight, because we want to join in, we want to look like them, we don't want to look different, and yet the Holy Spirit is separating us unto himself. Of course, we know this separation means separation unto holiness, because God is most holy. So we are set apart unto him. Now, for God to set us apart unto him, not only do we need the new birth, we need his Spirit, his fullness, the Godhead in us, but he has to start to work these godly affections within us, to want that walk and separation, to walk in his ways. Because, of course, as we walk in his ways, we follow Jesus, we are going to find, as we've just read to you here in verse 13, that we have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of all things until now. That's pretty hard language that the Apostle Paul uses there, but that's what he says. In other words, the world will start to look at us as an embarrassment. The world will start to look at us as we've gone mad. We've gone all religious. We're different. And of course, we will be talked about. We will be lied. They will say all manner of things against us, just like they did with Jesus. It's no different. And a lot of it comes out of ignorance. A lot of it comes out of blindness, because they don't see. We didn't see until God touched our lives. We also walked in that blindness. And so as God opens our eyes, so we see, as we walk with him, that we no longer wish to walk with the ways of the world. And sometimes God's going to allow us sometimes to go in the world's ways, just to show that we don't actually fit in. You know, if we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, we're going to find that God isn't at ease. God isn't happy who dwells in our lives when we find ourselves in places that we shouldn't be, where we find ourselves in places where we have little in common with any others. One of the greatest things about our fellowship as believers, that we can talk about spiritual things. We can talk about the Word of God. We can talk about the love of God. We can share these things with each other because we have His Spirit, and it quickens us. We have that vision. We have something in common. We call it fellowship. We can't have fellowship with the world. And if you are truly the Lord's, you're going to find that fellowship with the world won't like you. They won't understand why it is they don't like you, why it is they're on their guard, or they reject you, or are very polite to you. It's simply because light and darkness don't mix. We're not up against flesh and blood, we're up against powers, principalities. And so it's what is in the world, it's what is in people that can't really get on with you because you have the Holy Spirit within your hearts. So this shouldn't take us by surprise. If we're truly born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, then it shouldn't take us by surprise when we find that the world rejects us, that it turns its back on us, or they don't really want to befriend you, or they're just being superficially nice, or whatever it is. We shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be hurt by it. We shouldn't feel rejected by the world if we're truly born again. Because we've been brought out of that. We've been delivered from that, set apart from that. So we shouldn't feel rejection from people that we once knew or we walked with or who were our friends, and including the family. We shouldn't feel rejected by that because the Holy Spirit has separated us unto Himself, and the world doesn't like us if you are truly walking as disciples. So in this context that we're looking at, what the Apostle Paul is speaking of here to the Corinthians, it's we submit to what appears as foolishness for Christ. We see this in verse 9. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. Now I know he's speaking in the sense of his ministry and the apostles, but that fundamentally is how we are to walk. That is the spirit of it. If we're truly walking with the Lord, we're going to find the world will reject us. In an actual fact, we're going to take comfort from that because they are good signs. They are signs that the Lord is in us. We have the Holy Spirit. So we can take comfort in these and not feel as though I'm rejected, not feel down and depressed. A Christian should never feel down and depressed because people they know who are not Christian are rejecting them or are not interested in them. We shouldn't be depressed or affected by that. That, in fact, should be a good sign that we are not of this world. And so the whole challenge to us is we are more concerned about our own desires and wants to allow ourselves to become a refuse or filth of the world. And this is where we have to be willing to surrender that self-life, to give up all our desires, our plans, our future, our building. We surrender it all up to Christ, because Christ now, who is in you, is the master builder in your life. We now decrease that He increases. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that is how we walk with God. You will never succeed in walking with the Lord unless you are willing to surrender that independent self-life, that independent spirit that we have. I'm always reminded of John the Baptist when he saw Jesus, behold the Lamb of God. He said something very profound that isn't very often recited or is just ignored. He said, I now decrease that he increases. In other words, what he was saying is, this is the one who is going to now live his life. He is going to tabernacle with man. He is now going to take over. This is why Jesus said to the disciples, tarry, wait in the upper room. And they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They received the Godhead. They received Christ into their hearts. And then they had the Great Commission, the word go. And that is what it's about. It's every day as we decrease that he increases. Our life isn't about our desires, our wants, our futures, our planning, our scheming. Our life is about the kingdom. Is the kingdom coming, being established through me? This is why we have the great priestly prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The world must start to see what pertains to the kingdom of heaven through you and me, until eventually it is manifested when Jesus comes to rule and reign on earth. This is how we walk as disciples. And this is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so paramount to empower us so that we walk not in ourselves, in our own strength, but in the power and strength of the Holy Spirit. That is God in us. And as we walk like this, yes, we are going to find conflicts. Yes, we're going to find that the powers of darkness will not like the way we're walking as disciples. The reason that Christians, true Christians, are persecuted in the world is because of the light that is in them. God who is in them. Our warfare is not about flesh and blood. It is spiritual. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. It's those powers, principalities, that are trying to hinder and stop the life of Christ in you manifesting. That is why, as disciples, the Bible says that we too take our cross up daily and follow him. The same as Peter, Satan working through Peter trying to stop Jesus from going to Calvary, so the powers of darkness try to stop you from decreasing so that God increases in your life and my life. It's the same principle. We have ministers today who are saying, oh, Satan was pleased and triumphing when he got Christ to the cross. No, he wasn't. He tried to stop him from going to the cross. He had enough insight to know what God was doing. He had enough insight to see that he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and that God was finally going to deal with sin, punish sin through his offering, the Lamb. And so it's the same principle for us in that sense. That is why we decrease, that he increases. And the way we do that, Romans 12, 1 and 2, present yourself as a living sacrifice. The only thing you and I can do is give ourselves back to the Lord, put ourselves on that altar, and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. You can't do it, but he'll do it. God wants our will. This is why he never forces our will. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. But as we surrender, as we just desire, not my will, but your will be done, so we are asking him to take over. We are asking him that it's not about me anymore, it is about Christ who lives in and through me. For out of your innermost being shall flow those rivers of living water. Those living waters that flow out of you and me is God in us, reaching out to a dying world. This is why he empowers us. This is why he gives us the gifts. This is why through our weakness he makes us strong. God will call you to do things you cannot do in yourself. It will always be a clear sign of a calling on your life when in the natural you haven't the ability to do it. That is when it's then all of God. And so, as we start to take on this heart and spirit that God wants us to walk, we're going to find that the world will not like us. We are filled to the world. We're like refuse. But we have a mind that is set for this. As it says in verses 14 to 17, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. God is restoring back into the true church the true believers that are called out. He is restoring, as we're shown in Ephesians 4, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, for the maturing and perfecting of the saints. We are now living in a time, brothers and sisters, where we are seeing these gifts now being restored again to the church. I'm talking of the true church in Jesus Christ, where your covering is not a man, but your covering is the blood of Christ. The called out assembly. And so as we are beginning to be taught again by the anointing, by these ministries, so these ministries are going to point you in the direction how you are to walk as disciples. And we will see these ministries and also be influenced by these ministries, the same as we can be influenced by one another in our fellowship. This is why I said at the beginning when I opened up that our fellowship with one another is paramount. Because if we're open, we can learn from one another where we see what God has done through a believer, through a saint. Where you see that they've come through a deep trial, but that deep trial has wrought the love of Christ in them. That influences us. That causes us to say, Lord, I would like that in my life. I see that important. I see that so important where to keep one's mouth shut and not always give one's opinion or various things. There's just so much we can learn one from another if we're open. And of course, this is why the Apostle Paul said, be imitators of me, because he walked the way of the cross. He received much persecution. Of course, most of us all know the life of the Apostle Paul and what he went through for the sake of the gospel. But he went through it because he wanted that to be an example, to show that that is the way the Christian church walks. Because by walking that way, that is where the life of Christ in us can live his life through us. Brothers and sisters, it's now time to start to nourish the life of Christ that lives in you and me, and not nourish our wants, our desires, what I want. Those days are over now if we're to walk as disciples. And God's grace is sufficient. God will be with us. Whatever we go through, he won't forsake us. Because the only way, brothers and sisters, we're going to overcome in this life is when we draw from the power of who is in our lives. And that is God himself. You cannot do it in yourself. There are too many professing Christians still think they have to overcome. I have got to believe. I have got to do this. I have got to do that. What God wants from us is surrender. Surrender all. Give yourself as a living sacrifice. The Holy Spirit will do all the rest. That is why he's come, to teach us and lead us and guide us. God doesn't want our works. You cannot save yourself. Our salvation is a gift of God. God found you. You didn't find him. We were enjoying ourselves. We were quite happy sinning, a lot of us. It was God that said enough in your life and my life. So we can't even save ourselves. So why do we think that we can do all these works for God? We can't. It's as we yield. It's as we surrender that independent spirit, then the Holy Spirit will begin to take over. And there is our spiritual rest in God that Hebrews speaks about. God has not called any of us to strive. He's called us to move and walk with him in unity and oneness. That's why our whole walk and salvation with God is a relationship. When this relationship is about Christ, who now lives in you and me. He's come to dwell, to reside, to tabernacle. It's about fellowship. It's about communion. It's a covenant. This is how the bride in the last days will make herself ready. The Holy Spirit will empower the bride to make herself ready as she yields over to him. We're betrothed to the bridegroom. We are destined to the throne of grace. We need to start walking in this light, brothers and sisters, and put on these robes of righteousness. But you can't do it. It's simply asking him. It's yielding over. It's what we call that absence of resistance. When the Holy Spirit begins to hone in on certain areas of your life, he wants to clean up, or he wants you to give up. Instead of just fighting it, just begin to yield over. We all have areas in our lives we don't want to give up. We've still got areas where we enjoy sinning. We've still got areas where we want our own way. And this is where we find we're wrestling. We're wrestling with God. But as we start to talk it out with him, as he says in Isaiah, come now, let us agree together. As you go into your closet and you open your heart up before him and pour it all out, don't hold anything back because God knows everything, he will start to work it in you, because he says he will work in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. At the end of the day, even God puts those affections in our heart so we can finally say no and turn around. God has to put those affections in our hearts to resist the enemy. even our Lord and Saviour, when he was taken into the wilderness for 40 days, there he was tempted and tried. God was working with him. He knew that oneness that he had with his Father. He drew from the power of his Father in him to resist, to overcome. He couldn't do it in himself, in his own flesh. But it was by the Spirit. It's always by the Spirit that we overcome. It's always by the Spirit we say no to sin. It's always by the Spirit that we can resist those things that we would like to do in the flesh. And so it's as we wait before God, as we make it a source of prayer, we talk it out with him, we settle it with him, then the Holy Spirit will begin to work. God will never work in your heart until you have settled it. And this is why he exposes these things in us, because he's trying to get our attention to settle it. And when we settle it, it means we have given him authority, we have willed that he now will take over and he'll deal with these areas of sin and rebellion and unbelief in our lives. And then we have the grace and the mercy of God at our disposal. And God is going to work with us and work with us until we finally get that victory. Because he's long-suffering, he's gentle, he's merciful. And as Jesus has overcome all things at Calvary, so he who now lives in us will also overcome all things, because you draw from the victory that Jesus wrought for us at Calvary. When you overcome areas of the flesh, you've overcome because of the victory that Christ wrought for us at the cross, who now lives in you and me. That is why it's not by might nor by power, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You see, you cannot clean up your flesh. You cannot put to death those things of the flesh. It's as you draw from the life of Christ that's in you, can you do these things? And some of us may have never really even thought about this. But this is why God is speaking about this tonight. He's trying to show us that we can walk that perfect walk before him. We can walk like Jesus. We can be those overcomers in these last days. Why have we got all these promises in God's word if they're not valid? For he says all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. He wouldn't say that if it's not possible. But you can't keep them. I can't keep them. It says I yield over and I allow his lordship to work in my heart. Then he will begin to work. And I can assure you that when God begins to work in you, that work which he hath begun, he will complete and finish. God never leaves a work undone. Never. In your life and my life. He will complete it. All he wants is just that faith to believe. And that faith to believe you have each day. Don't think about faith for next week, next year. You have faith today, now. We, all of us who love the Lord Jesus, who are in this room, who love God, you have the faith enough now, this moment, to believe. Because we're told in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing the word of God. You have the faith now to believe. We serve a God of the now, today. There are many brothers and sisters who still live to God of the past. They look to past things, past revivals and so forth. But they're gone. Revelation tells us, hear today what the Spirit says to the church. You, brothers and sisters, are the church. It's not a building. It's you and I, living people. United together in unity, oneness. It's whether in our hearts we want to hear what the Spirit is saying now today. And I have no problem in hearing what he's saying today now to us. He's saying to us, it is my life that lives in you, the fullness of the Godhead who now lives in each one of us. I want you to decrease that I increase in your life, because that is the only way you will overcome all things and the things of the flesh. Now, brothers and sisters, that's not rocket science. Even a child can believe that, because that is the way we're to walk. Yes, and when we start to settle these things, yes, there's going to be some arguments. Yes, there's going to be some tears, because the Holy Spirit's now beginning to separate you. He's beginning to show you that I don't want you doing that anymore. I don't want you associating with those people. They're bad company for you. They're influencing you. Many, many ways we're going to see how God will work with us. But all he's doing is answering your prayers. That's what he's doing. I remember some years ago, I was really having a battle. And I was battling, and I thought it was the enemy, and I was warring and coming against Satan and so forth. And one day God impressed to my heart. It wasn't audible. He said, you know, you're doing a lot of battling. You're doing a lot of rebuking. You're really blaming the enemy. I want to tell you something. It's actually me you are fighting with. Do you know, it was such an eye-opener. Such an eye-opener. And I thought God was going to have to say to me, you better apologize to Satan, but he didn't. But that was an eye-opener to me, that so often we think we're battling with the enemy. We're not. We're battling with God. We're fighting him. Until he opens our eyes to see. Now, of course, it's no good fighting with God. You've lost before you even start. But isn't he gentle? Isn't he wonderful? How he works with us. How he opens our eyes. And then when we realize how stupid we've been, then we start to do it his way. You see, the flesh doesn't like the ways of God. You've only got to read the book of Romans for that. But it's as we draw from the life of Christ in us that we are going to overcome. And we've got to look to the one who lives and resides in our lives. Christ in us, the hope of glory. I have hope tonight. I have faith tonight. Because it's not about me, it's about the one who lives in me, the one who has overcome all things. When Jesus said at the cross, it is finished, it is done, he said that over you and over me. And nothing changes that. It's whether we choose to believe that or not. And that's all God ever asks from us. Just that simple, childlike faith. Do you or do you not believe? Don't go by feelings. Don't go whether, well, am I really believing or am I not believing? It is simply settling it. I choose to believe what God says over my life. And it doesn't matter how it looks. It doesn't matter how bad it is, because often it is. Our walk of faith in the natural looks ridiculous. It looks a failure. Every one of us in this room tonight outwardly looks a failure. That is how the world sees us. And the reason God has chosen you in Christ Jesus is because the world doesn't like you. The world rejects you. The world doesn't want you. It doesn't want me. But I tell you, there's one who does. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is why we're his peculiar treasure, set apart unto him. God takes delight in us. And that is why if the world rejects you, and it says all manner of things against you, and lies about you and so forth, don't get upset, don't feel rejected or whatever it is, but count it all joy and praise the Lord. Because they did it to Christ, they've done it to all the disciples, you read it in the Word of God, and they'll say it about you. But if God be for you, who can be against you? And that is the whole point. And that is how we walk. And that is why God gives us his peace that passes all understanding. Yes, it might hurt. Yes, it might hurt when your son rejects you, or your husband rejects you, or the family turn against you. If you experience those things, then you are blessed, because that is the sword of the Spirit that is divided. Where does Jesus speak of division? Very often in the family. That is a clear sign that you are truly born again. You are no longer of the flesh, you are of the Spirit. Because it's showing light and darkness don't mix. But praise God, even when they reject you, he'll put his love in your heart. You cannot love your enemy. You cannot love your husband who's now turned against you because you're a believer. You cannot love them in yourself. You have to draw of love that is in you. The love that is in Jesus Christ. And it may not come immediately, but he'll work that in your heart, in your affection, in your mind. He'll put his love in us so that we can embrace our enemy. Yes, we can turn the cheek when they smite us on the other side. But all of what I'm saying tonight can only be done, we can only overcome as we draw from the life of God that lives in and through us. Don't keep looking to yourself. Don't keep looking to your failures. Don't keep looking, I'm trying this, I'm trying to do that, I'm trying to improve my prayer life, I'm trying to read the Bible, I'm trying to love my neighbors and everything. Forget it. Forget it. You never do it. God has never saved us in order for us to try and do it. He saved us by his power, his strength, his might. The Bible tells us that the very power that raised Christ from the dead, which is this dunamis power, which means in the Greek dynamite, is the very same power that works in you and in me to overcome all things as we draw from the life of Christ who lives and dwells in us. And it's as we are willing to yield over, we make a positive will, we decide, we settle it, then God will begin to take over. Now, our wills sometimes are stubborn. And some of us being hearing this teaching tonight and say, right, I've got to go before God and I've got to surrender my will. It might take a little while to actually settle the surrendering of your will. It doesn't always just happen straight off immediately. Sometimes God will wait to see if we actually really want it. If we're really wanting to put him first, if we're really wanting God's will, you know, we get an indication of that, don't we, from Jesus, the night of his betrayal, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. There, he was sweating it out with drops of sweat like blood. He was sweating that out before God. What was he doing? He was settling his Father's will. And once he had settled it, then they came and they took him and they put him on the cross. And there is a spiritual parallel with us. It might take a Garden of Gethsemane period in which to settle These things that God's showing you with him. But I'll tell you something, when it's done and God's accepted it, the grace will be there. The grace and mercy was there for Christ to go to the cross. It couldn't have been achieved otherwise. And so it's the grace and mercy of God that works with us when we've settled our will so that it is his will, not my will. Then his mercy and grace will be there to sustain, to keep, to help us. And not only that, but you experience more of God's presence, his joy, his peace. This is why, brothers and sisters, we're destined to the fullness of Christ. They're attained to the fullness of Christ, to sonship. Sonship is given in salvation, but not all mature and attain to it, because they don't want it. But that's what the Holy Spirit is doing now. It's time to start growing, maturing. It's growing up time now. We don't want to be treated like babies anymore. God isn't going to treat us as babies. He wants to treat us Can you hear me now? Is there sound? Can you hear now? Yes, praise the Lord. I don't know what happened there. We're all back. I think there's somebody who doesn't like this. Now, it doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter what they're saying about you, or lying, or gossiping, or rejecting you. It doesn't matter, because you're not a part of it. You've been saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit. You are set apart now unto God's service, unto God's use. And there's no greater calling than can be placed on a true born-again Christian. It is the greatest gift that can ever be given to man. We are so privileged that we are destined for the throne of God, that God has placed eternity in our lives and in our hearts. Yes, we may feel down at times. Yes, we may be rejected. They may say and do all of these things. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And you have the greatest advantage, and that is that you look away from yourself, you look away from your circumstances, and you seek the kingdom of God. You look to Jesus, who's the author, finisher of our faith. You draw from the life of the Godhead that dwells and lives in you. Think about this, brothers and sisters, as I bring this to a close. God, who is eternal, uncreated spirit, who always has been and always will be, the fullness of the Godhead, the mystery of the Trinity, dwells, lives, tabernacles in each one of us. That is profound. He now dwells and lives in us. And so we draw from that life. We draw from him. We draw from the wells of living water. Out of our innermost being shall flow those rivers of living water. Those living waters are alive because God is alive. It's about his life in and through me. is about his love in and through me. It's not about me or my works or what I can do. It's about Christ in me. It's as we decrease, he increases. And it's on the basis of whether we're willing to surrender. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Let's read that before we finish, because the Holy Spirit's been bringing that up several times this evening. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can do no more than present yourself as a living sacrifice. You give yourself back to God. The same as Abraham gave back his son Isaac. He was willing to surrender, to sacrifice him, to give him back to God. So all you can ever do after you are born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, is to present yourself as that living sacrifice, place yourself spiritually on that altar, give yourself over to God, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. You won't have to try and do it. You don't have to look for trials or persecutions. They'll find you. It's as we do it. And listen what he says. It's your bodies, he says, you as a living sacrifice to God. So that's what you present, your whole being, your heart. And look what he says, the promise in verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why does he speak about the renewing of your mind? Because your battle, brothers and sisters, often is in the mind. Satan attacks the mind. That's where he tries to get access. And so he says, as you present yourself, so God will begin to get us the victory in our minds, in our thinking, in our attitudes. It's very often our attitudes that defeat us. Not so much the circumstances, it's our attitude towards it what defeats us. And he says that he's going to renew our mind. He's going to transform. It means to change by the renewing of the mind. For what purpose? So that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, you can have discernment. You have revelation. You will know and hear what God's will is for you. And not being tossed to and fro, not knowing what God's will is. God wants you every day to walk in his will, and he wants you to know that will. But you can't do it. He'll work that through you as you ask him to do it, as you draw from the life of Christ, so that your will is Christ's will in you. You draw now from his mind. You draw from his will. You draw from his desires. You draw from his heart. It's about the Godhead that's in you. This is why he's a high priest who's interceding for you and I. He intercedes so that we, through his prayers, might know his will for our lives and walk in it. That's why he's taken on the role of a high priest. That's what a high priest does, intercedes for the people. And he wants you and I to know that. And it says we surrender ourselves before him. He will begin to work with our minds, changing these minds, so that we can cast down these thoughts, these arguments, these things that war against the members, against the mind. Because so often that is where our warfare is in the mind. So that we have the mind of Christ. God has been revealing tonight what his mind is, what his heart is for us. All we do now is take it away, pray on it, wait, and allow the Holy Spirit to accomplish and work this. But it's done if the seed of this word and what we listen to is sown in our hearts. Only God can change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. It's what we want. And if we have a will for it, then he'll do it. That is why he works in you and I, brothers and sisters, both to will and do. For what? His good pleasure. You are tonight his good pleasure. He takes delight in each of us. He has loved us from the foundation of the world. He has put that within our hearts. He's put a new song within our hearts. He's opened our ears and our eyes. This is a great salvation. This is a great message that God has given to us. The gospel is good news for those that want it. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you again tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have put a new song within our hearts. Father, you have put yourself within us. We draw from the life that is in us, which is you. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's about you. But Lord, you have shown us again tonight that we can't do it in our strength. And we've all tried. And we've fallen flat on our face. But Lord, you allow that to happen because you're trying to show and teach us something. Help and cause each one of us to be always teachable. Lord, never let our hearts grow hard. Lord, help us to be teachable. If it means that we're made desperate, then do whatever it takes. We are living in real times now. We are seeing the falling away from the faith. We are hearing of wars and rumors of wars. It is all progressively getting worse, and these are all the clear signs that we're to look up because our redemption draws near. Father, I pray that nothing will pluck us out of the hand of God, that your love will preserve and keep us, Lord. Keep us from the evil one. Keep us from temptations. Keep us, above all, from self. For we can so deceive ourselves. Work with our hearts that our hearts will be flesh before you and not stone. We desire to have our minds changed and renewed, that we have the mind of Christ. We present ourselves as a living sacrifice, as you've shown us tonight in Romans 12, 1 and 2. We place ourselves, Lord, upon that altar. And the Holy Spirit, he will do the rest. He has come to take over. That is the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, even though we may be wrestling, even though we might be finding it difficult, yet we know that you will work in us both to will do for your good pleasure, that we decrease, that you increase. We desire one thing, Lord, to present to this world, not us, but Christ who is in us. You're the good news, not us. You're the one that's to be presented to a dying world. Father, I pray that you have your way in our lives. Thank you, Lord, tonight for this meeting. Thank you for bringing my brothers and sisters into this room. I pray the blood of Jesus over them. Give your angels charge over them. Keep them, Father, close to yourself. Guard when they go out and when they come in. Always Give your travelling mercies over them. And may they above all be a light in this world of darkness, we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.